Pianist Harry Connick Jr. is a new arrival on the national jazz scene. Columbia Records released his first album a few months ago. It was called an auspicious debut in the Boston Herald. In People magazine, his playing was described as irresistibly youthful, yet surprisingly mature. Connick is 20 years old. His record shows off his New Orleans-influenced piano style, his stride playing, bop standards, and his own compositions. Harry Connick Jr. is with me in the studio at the piano for a live Fresh Air concert. And in addition to being treated to his playing, we're going to hear something that he didn't get to show off on his first album, his singing. Harry Connick Jr. may be new on the national scene, but he's long been familiar to New Orleans audiences. He studied in New Orleans with pianist James Booker and Ellis Marsalis. His first album was produced by one of Marsalis's many talented children, Delfeo.
Right.
There you go. Harry, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Terry.
And let me welcome you and ask you to kick us off with a tune.
Sure. I'll play a tune that I recorded on my next album, which is coming out in September, called Avalon.
Great. Connick Jr. Playing for us live on Fresh Air today. Now, I know that as a swing standard, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. You've got this great New Orleans left hand working
right.
on that. You were telling me earlier before the concert that that's a song you associate with James Booker for yourself.
Well, not the song itself. I learned this tune when I was playing on Bourbon Street when I was about 13 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And what James would do with his, James Booker, he would play... He had a totally unique style, and his left hand would do things that I've never heard anyone else do. For example, as opposed to playing it like a swing, that, what he would do was take his left hand and put a groove to it to have the New Orleans rumba kind of beat and have like that, you know. So I kind of took what James did and put my own interpretation to that tune.
Now, he's someone who used to hang out with a lot and
right.
and study with, I guess,
yes,
informally or formally. But how did you get to know him that well? How do you almost apprentice yourself to someone?
Well, James was a hard guy to get in touch with. He didn't really live anywhere, and he kind of moseyed about the clubs and joints in New Orleans. And periodically, he would call my house, and he would say, "Do you want to play?" And he'd just, or sometimes he'd even just show up, and we'd get together and play. When you said formally or informally, it's pretty much the latter of the two, because he was such a strange character. You never could find him, and he would just appear, you know. So, but I tell you, the times when we did get together were most invaluable.
I'm going to ask you to play another song for us. Would you sing one for us?
I'd be happy to. This is a tune that I had the pleasure and honor of being able to record with Carmen McRae, who joined me on this tune on the record that's coming out in September. And this is called "Please Don't Talk About Me When I'm Gone."
Please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Although our friendship ceases from now on. And baby, if you can't say anything real nice, well then it's better not to say anything at all. That's my advice. Your way, I'll go mine. It's best that we do. Here's a little kiss. I hope that this brings lots of luck to you. It makes no difference how I carry on. 'Cause, sweetheart, I know that you better not talk about me while I'm gone.
Enjoy your singing very much.
Well, thank you. And it should be "when I'm gone."
What did you say? "While I'm gone."
Right. Doesn't matter. I'm gone.
We'll let it go. I was wondering why you didn't sing on your first record.
For a couple of reasons, really. One is that I wanted to establish myself as a pianist first. A lot of times when if I did singing.
We'll get a dictionary in here.
Okay. If I had vocalized on the first album, people would tend to associate me with singing more than playing, just because singers have an ability to bring in a larger crowd, just because they're singing words and people can relate to that more than just playing. Another reason was that I didn't feel like I was ready yet. I had been highly influenced by James Booker, and I sounded an awful lot like James, and I wanted to have a chance to study and take some vocal training and things like that. So that's why I waited till the second album.
Now, you started playing when you were really very young, right?
Right. I started when I was about 3.
And how old were you when you started actually hanging out in the clubs, playing in the clubs?
Well, my parents used to take me down when I was about 6 years old, and I used to go down to the clubs on Bourbon Street, and they would asked me to sit in on a tune or two. Pretty much on a weekly basis, we'd go down on like a Sunday afternoon, and I'd sit in. So I've been playing with a lot of great Dixieland musicians since I was real young.
You know what interests me about you being on the scene that young? I know your father is still, I think, the district attorney
in
New Orleans. So I'm thinking, he wouldn't want any kind of scandal, like D.A.'s son found drunk in club.
Right. Well, I tell you, it was a choice between getting drunk and playing in the clubs, I guess, and I chose to play in the clubs because that's the most important thing to me, you know, is to be able to do that. And all the dope and the alcohol and prostitution and everything else that surrounded the whole French Quarter scene didn't interest me at all.
So your father didn't discourage you?
He encouraged it quite a bit.
Good. Well, let me ask you to do another song for us.
Sure. This is a tune that I just learned the other day. I heard Carmen McRae do it, which is not the right thing to say before I sing it because people would expect to hear Carmen do it.
Well, now we'll be comparing you to her.
Well, let's hope not. This is a great tune called I Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry. The torch I carry is handsome. It's worth its heartache in ransom. And when the twilight steals, I know how the lady in the harbor field. When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky. Since love is gone, can't pull myself together. I guess I'll hang my tears out to dry. Friends ask me out, I tell them I'm busy. Must find a new alibi. I stay at home and ask myself, where is she? I guess I'll hang my tears out to dry. Dry little teardrops, my little teardrops, hanging on a string of dreams. Fly little memories, my little memories. Remind her of our crazy schemes. Somebody said, just forget about her. Well, I gave that treatment a try. Strangely enough, I got along without her. Then one day, she passed me right by. Oh, well, I guess I'll hang my tears out to dry. Thank you.
forget about her. Oh, I gave that treatment a try. And strangely enough, I got along without her. Then one day, she passed me right by. Oh, well, I guess I'll hang my tears out to dry.
That was really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, my guest is Harry Connick Jr. singing and at the piano in a live concert. You know what I'm wondering? The playing piano is so difficult. There's so much you have to learn to do it, especially the way you play, you know, knowing so many different styles and rhythms. And did singing come naturally and playing piano have to be learned?
Well, they both have to be learned, and they both sort of came naturally, you know. I started doing both at the same time. I used to do a little Louis Armstrong imitation when I was real young.
Uh-huh.
And so I was always playing and singing together. I studied piano classically and for a long time because piano is something that... if you're going to play piano correctly, if you're going to play jazz piano correctly, there has to be some schooling there.
Yeah.
And there has to, a lot of practicing has to be done. Vocally is something that you can get away with being more of a stylist, you know. I don't want to be a stylist. I'd like to improve, and I'm still trying to improve vocally and pianistically. But I didn't really start studying vocally till, you know, 6 months or so ago when I realized I was going to do a vocal record.
So what kind of studying are you doing now?
I had a coach named Marion Cowings who would teach me about breathing and the difficulties of singing sitting down and not being able to stand up and really breathe as well as I could potentially if I was standing. And just phrasing and lyric interpretation and things like that.
Well, good. We're going to have to take a short break here, and then we're going to hurry back and get to more of your live performance. My guest is Harry Connick Jr., and he's originally from New Orleans. Is it New Orleans or New Orleans?
New Orleans,
right. Always have trouble with this. But anyways, he has one album out. He just recorded a second. That one's coming out in September. His album that's already out is called Harry Connick Jr., which is also his name, and the album's on Columbia Records. More of our live concert after this short break. This is Fresh Air. We have a live concert today with Harry Connick Jr., and since I was just fumbling in my pronouncing of New Orleans, why don't I ask you to play Way Down Yonder in New Orleans?
Sure. Thank you.
Great. That's Harry Connick Jr. at the piano. You know, you were a prodigy, right? Or maybe prodigy is the wrong word. You were playing when you were real young.
Right.
Performing.
That's better.
Yeah. Is it a relief to be 20 now and not have to be, like, the performing kid, the kid who's real good?
Well, I guess you move through stages in your career. You know, when I was very young, I couldn't look at it, obviously, in retrospect. I was just enjoying the fact that people were impressed with what I was doing, you know. I didn't care one way or the other. Now, at 20, I'm still sort of the new kid on the block, and I kind of have to really prove myself now because I'm old enough to have learned how to play piano at a decent level, but I'm still young as to have to show what I can do. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to explain, I guess. And I guess, you know, when I'm 30, people are going to say, well, he's 30. He really has to be playing some piano now. So it's always a challenge, you know, which is nice.
I'm going to ask you to play something else so we get in another tune.
Sure. There's a tune that I used to play in New Orleans, and it's a street in New Orleans. It's a famous street that I spend a lot of time on, and it's called Basin Street Blues.
Quite what it really seems. I'm glad to be, yes, three in the land of reverie. Oh, and I can lose my Basin Street Blues.
Oh, that was great. Are you still living in New Orleans?
I live in New York now. I've been there about close to 3 years.
But do you feel like New Orleans is a permanent part of your playing?
Oh, by all means. You know, when I first moved to New York, I was a little embarrassed of my heritage, you know, because New York has a sort of a tradition of, you know, you know, that stuff, you know. So I came up wanting to deal with that, and I forgot about, you know, which is the stuff I grew up playing. And, because, you know, it's like when you go to school, you know, when you're a little kid and your mom and dad drops you off and they give you a big kiss, you're all embarrassed, you know. But back when you, you know, when you don't have your parents or when you get old enough to realize, you know, it's a special thing. So I'm latching on to every Booker, Professor Longhair, Dr. John Lick that I know and playing all those Strutting with Some Barbecue and Way Down Yonder in New Orleans, because to me that's what it's about, you know.
Well, I'm glad you are. I really enjoy your playing.
Oh, thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming and performing for us. It's been our pleasure. Thank you very much for being here. My guest has been Harry Connick Jr., who is a pianist and singer. He has one album out on Columbia Records called Harry Connick Jr. He recently went into the studio to record another record. That one's scheduled to come out in September. Tell us just a little bit about what's going to be on the record.
Well, it's primarily a solo piano record, and it's the record is called 20. And I was joined on a tune by Carmen McRae, and joined on a tune by Dr. John, and also by Bob Hurst, who's a wonderful bassist. And I played pretty much all standard tunes.
Well, I look forward to hearing it, and thanks for being with us. Can you play us out?
I sure will.